Thank you. I didn't mean to make you applaud longer because I went back for my water. Good morning. It's such an honor to me for Pastors Lanny and Pastor Svetlana to give me an opportunity to come try to fill in a little bit sometimes when they're out of town, and it's a pleasure for me and a joy for me. Brandon, I wanted so much to find a way to dress down from what you did. You guys see Brandon? Yeah. I tried on my old blue robe this morning. I just couldn't do it. I thought about it. So I decided not to compete at all. Okay. Where I'm from, in Texas, when summertime comes around, we have a number of things that we do for entertainment. One of them is we get together a couple of cars or a couple of pickup trucks or whatever. We pile as many people as we can into them. Everybody brings along a tube from a tractor or a wheel or a big one of those big puffy bicycles, and we take one vehicle and we put it south about 2 hours, and then we drive up river and we put in and we float. We tube. We go tubing. Anybody here tubing? Is that not one of the great pleasures of life? Love tubing. And the stretch of Colorado River where we used to go, it had all kinds of personality. It had the stretches that were just wild and hairy and rocks, and you were constantly trying to keep from getting pummeled and bruised. And then it had those nice stretches that were peaceful and calm, and you stretch back, and sometimes you link tubes with your friends and catch up on the gossip, and sometimes you just go singly down the river. And basically, whatever the river was doing, that's what you did. If it was wild and hairy, it went wild and hairy, and you were screaming and giggling and laughing. And if it was calm, you just sighed and just kind of paddled along. And you did whatever it told you to do. That's wonderful. I loved it. And as long as you're tubing, that's great. That's a great way to live. But if that's how you run your life, oh my. Oh my, then we've got some trouble. Because intentional living is the way we want to live in the kingdom of God. Once upon a time, we lived life with no choices. It felt like we had choices, but really our choices were between this bondage and this bondage. And the lesser levels are the greater levels of those choices. And that was just our basic human nature plodding along in the world. And we didn't realize that we had no choices because it felt like we had choices. In fact, we did what seemed right to us. And as long as it seemed right, that was the choice we made. And if our emotions took us in one direction, we went with them because that was the choice that was in front of us. And if our emotions went another way, we went there because that was the choice that was before us. And we were riding the river and going where it took us. Proverbs 16:25 is a really eye-opening scripture. We're used to reading it in the context of evangelism. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but in the end, its way is death." Now, we're used to thinking of that in the context of being saved or not being saved. But it's much broader than that. Before you have choices, there's a way that seems right. And it looks straight before you, and you take it, and then suddenly up pops the price tag. Up pops the consequences. And then you're going, oh my, this isn't what I thought it was, but it looked right. There was a time when I couldn't help being mad. If you stepped on one of my personal grenades, I got mad. That was my choice. Mad or mad. That was my choice. And it seemed right to me, in fact, all my friends were telling me, that when you're mad, the best thing to do is get it out. And so it seemed right to me to go to my friend and get it out all over them with great emotion. And although it seemed right, it didn't ever actually solve the problem. It mystified me. There was a time when I thought that some days I'm just going to be anxious. There are things going on in my life that have to be worried about. That's my choice. I woke up, there's this thing, I have to worry about it, and it seemed right to me that the more I worried about it, the more chance there was that somehow I was going to solve it, and then the worrying would be paid off in a solution. It didn't work out that way for me. I would just lose sleep and have a messed up stomach. There was a time when I thought that if you were hurting me, that I had a right to be offended. And if you hurt somebody I loved, I had a right to be offended for them. That was my right. It seemed right to me to be offended. And because I was riding the river and I was in the tube, that was the choice I had, and that was the choice I made, and I went with it. Isaiah 61, Old Testament. We're used to reading it through Old Testament eyes, but it's much bigger than it appears at first. And it was the first promise of choice. It's actually a prophecy about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf, as you're reading it right now. It's one of the first times the Scripture really laid it out there. You're going to have a choice. It's not like it used to be. For the Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed and qualified me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek, the poor, the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up and heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the physical and spiritual captives, to the opening of prison and of the eyes to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of favor, and the day of vengeance for our God. I believe that's vengeance upon the devil for the havoc he has wreaked in the lives of humans. To comfort all who mourn, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament or a garland or a diadem of beauty, a symbol of beauty, instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. Now we have a choice. The Lord has proclaimed he's making a way. There's going to be a choice. And that comes to pass. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, in this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to the yoke of slavery, the yoke of no choices, which you have once put off. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, just to get a complete picture, do not fret or have any anxiety. And some versions say, do not allow yourselves to fret or have anxiety about anything. About anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition and definite requests with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and the God of peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with its earthly lot, whatever that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There was a moment in time for me where it clicked, and I got it. I'm trying to remember. Bill and Amy, are you guys in here? Bill and Amy Crane, are you sitting in here? What is the name of that girl whose testimony you sent us? Toledo Miller. Jennifer Toledo Miller. If you go out on the web and Google it, you can find it. It's a young girl giving her testimony about what the Lord did in her life as a child and bringing her up so that she was in ministry in Africa. She had a couple of very dramatic points in her life. Very quickly, one of them, she was very close to being killed by a group of very, very unseemly mean men in one of the countries in Africa. I'm not sure, I can't remember which one. And she was standing in the room, and they were standing outside her window, and they had knives, and they were discussing how they were going to kill her. And she's in the room, and the Holy Spirit comes to her and says, "Choose now, fear or faith." And she says everything in her body, everything physical, the hairs on her head, the hairs on her arm, everything in her physical being was screaming fear. And the Lord says, "Choose now, fear or faith." And she says she literally just screamed, "Faith!" And as she did, she began to jump up and she made noise, and the noise confused the men. They didn't know what was happening, and they bumbled all over each other and they crashed around and scared one another to death, and they end up running off and disappearing. I'm listening to this testimony in the car, and I just had one of those moments, one of those epiphanies. That day I had woken up and there was something in my life that I was really struggling with that day. And everything in my physical being wanted to respond with emotional, and I heard Jennifer's voice, "Choose it." Except in my head it sounded like this: choose life or choose death. Life or death. Deuteronomy 30. This is about as plain as it can get. Deuteronomy 30:11. "Surely this is the commandment I am commanding you today, and it is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross over and bring it back to me from the other side of the sea?' No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart for you to observe. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, or death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, as I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray and bow down to other gods," and that can be so many things other than a wooden statue, "I declare to you today that you shall perish." And I think that means now. Living death as you walk through life, as well as eternal choices. "You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness to you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings." I love verse 19. "I call heaven and earth to witness to you today." It was such an important event that he called the heavens to witness the choice. The choice. We get a choice. I've heard some of you say to me, I'm not spiritual. And I know that somewhere in their imaginations, they're imagining themselves sitting next to Rhonda Harris or Peggy Jarbo or Pastor Lanny. And in their mind, they're not like doing whatever that is that seems spiritual. And so somehow they're not as spiritual. I heard a speaker say about a year ago, and I can't remember now if it was Ravi Zacharias or if it was Sam Solon or who it was, but the phrase stuck with me. He said, the most spiritual thing you will do today is choose. Choose. The Lord gave us the choice, life and abundance or death and adversity. And we have that from the moment we get up in the morning till we go to bed at night. We get to choose. It's an amazing power. I was riding to work that morning. I was feeling this thing with my physical human side. And I heard it. Choose life or choose death, Marilyn. Which one do you want today? You can have a really great day living in abundance, or you can walk in this yuck that you're feeling. And I said to myself, well, when you put it that way, seems obvious. And so I said, I choose. I choose. Now, my emotions didn't catch up right away, but my mouth started right away. I choose life. I choose life. I choose to trust you today, Lord. I choose to rely on you today. I choose. Just show me. Show me what to do. We have a default position. We're walking through our day, something happens, and our first immediate response is the human one. Now, I would love to say that some of you are going to be spiritual enough that you never, ever have that initial response. I have not personally met that person yet. Everyone I've talked to who has had an honest conversation with me, even right now, the most spiritual person you can think of has those buttons. We all have the buttons. So when you trigger the button and then you become aware of the button, then you have a choice. Are you going to just go with your default? Because we all have a natural default. In every situation, we have a natural human default. The trick is to be in the moment. Live in the moment of your lives. This is not a dress rehearsal. We don't get to do this again. What happens today is today. And we don't get to do it tomorrow. This is it. This is not your dress rehearsal. This is life. This is my life. And so I ask the Lord in the morning, make me aware. Help me to be present in my own life. I don't want to run in neutral. I don't want to not notice what's going on around me. I don't want to not notice the person who's in distress over here. And I don't want to ignore the turmoil that's over here. I want to be in the moment. I want to see the faces that pop up in my life during my day. And then, Lord, show me which ones to respond to and how to respond to them. I'm going to give you just three quick little bullets of things that will improve your life completely if you'll just take them and run with them. Don't spend your life trying to please anyone. Don't spend your life trying to please these people. We are very fickled. And what pleases me today is not going to please me tomorrow. So just when you think you've got it figured out, I'm going to change. I'm also not probably going to think about you any longer than when you're right in front of me. The day I realized that nobody thought about me for more than 5 or 10 seconds a day was the day I was liberated. You are not thinking about me. Even if I did something really, a really bad blunder, you might talk about it later this afternoon and laugh about it with your friends. And if it was really bad, you might say something to Pastor Lanny and say, man, you shouldn't let her up there again. But truthfully, it's not going to last that long and then it's going to be gone. You're not thinking about me. That frees me up. I don't have to please you. I only have to please God. He's the only one I have to please. And if I please him, everything else falls into place. Then I please my husband, I please my boss, I please my coworkers. It's really simple. This one's going to be hard for some of you. You need to stop needing to be right. Being right is highly overrated. It is highly overrated. And when you need to be right, it has just that stench of pride, selfishness, and self-centeredness about it. It's just got that whiff of, I'm better than you because I'm right. I don't even care what the argument is. I don't even care if you have the moral high ground. Once being right becomes the goal, you've forfeited your moral high ground. It's gone. You know, you can actually sit there and let somebody else be right even when you know you're right, and you can just keep your mouth shut. Did you know you can do that? Because you have a choice. Oh, here's one you're not going to like too. I'm so sorry to deliver this bad news to you. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it isn't God. That's how he forms us and shapes us and sands off the rough corners. And that's how he gets our attention sometimes, because we don't like to change and it's easier to not change, and sometimes he blasts us out of our comfort zone and it gets hard. I'm so trying to decide how much of this to tell you. This is a personal story. You know, there's a fine line. Let's see if I can get my toes up to the fine line, not go over the line. This is something I've been practicing for a while. And so it's part of who I am. I know that I have a choice. I get that I have a choice. And I'm used to being able to choose in a relatively short time. And I have people in my life who help me. Like, for instance, just the other day, I'm in my office. Tim comes in and he asked me to do something. And he hit my button. He did. He triggered a button. And I turned around and I told him why I didn't think we should do that and blah, 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 blah. And he turns around and he walks out, and as he rounds the corner to his office, he says, I'll give you 5 or 10 seconds to get your attitude right and then we'll talk about it again. Whoosh! Now, we... That's right, right. I'm coming to that. We give each other permission to do that. In fact, I have built into my life people who have promised to do that. Susan, Brian, Val, and Tim, they get to talk directly to my heart anytime on any subject. And I've given them the right to do that. And they get to say it plain, and then my job is to respond right. And usually do pretty good. Well, there was this one thing that happened, and it was hard, because it lasted almost 3 months. It was in my face, it was hard, and every part of my being was screaming. And it did not want to conform with what the Lord was asking me to do. 3 months. And I know now it was my classroom. Because for those 3 months, in the beginning, I was over here in the death category. And I just want to tell you, you know how you know if you're choosing death? Let me describe it for you. If you're choosing death instead of choosing life, it's corrosive. It feels corrosive. The emotions have an effect on you in your physical being so that you can feel it doesn't feel good. It churns and it burns and it feels like cancer. That's choosing death. And when you're in the Word on a regular basis, you know this is death, and you know that you're choosing it, and you know it's wrong, and way over there, you see the promised land. And you know that's what you want to look like. That's what you want to be. That's who you want to be. And there's a journey from here to there. My encouragement to you today is you can get from here to there. And what I did was I had two people in my life, only two people in my life, that I talked to about this. And they heard what was on my heart, and then they encouraged me to go there. Okay, yes, we know you're here. Go there. And I began to say every day when I get up, I'm going there. I'm choosing life. I'm choosing life. And I said it every day. I choose life. I choose you, God. I choose to look like you, God. I want to feel on the inside like you, God. I want to feel abundant life on the inside of me. I choose life. And there were some days I had to say it 50 times. And every time, the death came back and wanted to run around in my brain and churn up the cancer. I said, no, 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 no. I choose life. I want to live the abundant life that God has given me. And I have the choice. It's right here. And it was hard. It was one of the hardest battles of my life. And every day we would pray. And every morning I would choose it. And every evening we would come home. And God is so funny. He has such a sense of humor. At the same time, my husband was going through a similar experience, slightly different circumstances, but he was in the same place I was, almost exactly. So every morning we would pray together and we would choose. And at the end of every day, we would say, how'd you do? How'd you do? And we would give a report to one another. Sometimes we would stop and pray again. But always, before we were done, we had chosen life. And I got to tell you, it was hard, but it works. Just because it doesn't happen overnight doesn't mean it's not working. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not working. And I got to tell you, little by little, I made the shift. I had to ask, what is this that's causing me to respond with such emotion? What is under those rocks? It's not about anybody else. It's about me. I'm the only one who can change. Me. What's under here? What's poking? Why is this happening here? And why is that happening there? You know, when you ask God those questions, He'll tell you. And then you get to work on it. Little by little, I chose. And I chose and I chose. One day I turned the corner. I just turned the corner. And I wasn't there anymore. I was over here in the promised land. And it feels great. Hallelujah. It feels like life. It feels healthy. You know, Scripture talks about health to the marrow of your bones. It's what it's talking about. You know, there's no clock up there. What happened to the clock? Oh, okay. It is very dangerous to put somebody in the pulpit and not have a clock in the back. Living on the edge. Lucky for you, I have notes and I follow them, so. No, never say that to a preacher. You don't mean that anyway. I know, because I sit out there. You know, we've got about 20, 25 minutes, and then we are thinking about something else. Right? Am I not right? Come
Come on, fess up. All right. Live intentionally. Be present in your own life. Let God help you think out of the box. This is fun, the thinking out of the box part. I'm going to read you a story here in a minute that it just warms my heart to think about it. But if you start your day asking God to help you be present in your own life, to help you pay attention to your own life, to help you see the people that are coming in and going out, and ask Him to show you who they are, and ask Him, what can I do to bless them or encourage them or uplift them or whatever, He will tell you things that will surprise you. And then you get to have the fun. It is so much fun to be a participant in other people's lives as a force for good. There is nothing better. Well, except maybe being in the throne room worshiping. That's pretty good. I got to put that up there at the top. Be present. Let Him help you think out of the box. This is a newspaper article, actually, that was tagged on Jason Alvey's Facebook. And Brian Fett came across it, and he read it to me. We're in the living room, and we're like, oh, my God. You know, it was great. And it was so great, I thought I would read it to you, because it's such a great example of thinking outside the box. So I'm just going to read you the article like it was written in the newspaper, and we've got just the right amount of time to do that. It takes place in Texas, so of course it's already, you know, thumbs up for me. How many Texans do we have here? Okay, so you might recognize the names of the towns, and it's going to give it away for you because you'll already know what we're talking about here. They played the oddest game in high school football history last month down in Grapevine, Texas. Well, I happen to know where Grapevine, Texas is. Not very big. In Grapevine, Texas, Faith High School versus Gainesville State Schools, and everything about it was upside down. For example, when Gainesville came out to take the field, the Faith High School fans made a 40-yard spirit line for them to run through. Do you guys know what a spirit line is? Everybody know what a spirit line is? Okay, that's where you get members of the pep squad or just people from the school, and they line up by the football dugout, and the football players run through, and people yell their names and shout, you know, encouragement to them, and you can take them, boys, we'll come out and support you, blah, 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 and that's the spirit line. Did you hear that? They made a spirit line for the other team's football players. They even made a banner for the players to crash through at the end, and it said, "Go Tornadoes!" Which is also weird because their team was the Faith Lions. This is a quote by one of the players. "I wouldn't have expected another parent to tell somebody to hit their kids. But that's what they wanted us to do. It was rivers running uphill. It was cats petting dogs. More than 200 Faith fans sat on the side of the Gainesville players and cheered through the whole game. They cheered the Gainesville players on by name. I never in my life thought I would hear people cheering for us to hit their kids," recalls one Gainesville quarterback. His name was Isaiah. "I wouldn't expect another parent to tell somebody to hit their kids, but they wanted us to. And even though Faith walloped this team 33-14, the Gainesville kids were so happy that after the game, they gave head coach Mark Williams a sideline squirt bottle shower like he just won state international. Gotta be the first Gatorade bath in history for an 0-9 coach. But then you saw the 12 uniformed officers escorting the 14 Gainesville players off the field. And then two and two started to make four. They lined the players up in groups of five, and they handcuffed them to their back pockets and marched them to the team bus. And that's because Gainesville is a maximum security correctional facility 75 miles north of Dallas. And every game it plays is on the road. This all started when Faith High School coach Chris Hogan wanted to do something kind for the Gainesville team. He'd been praying, been thinking out of the box, and God gave him an idea. Faith had never played Gainesville, but he already knew the score. After all, Faith was 7-2 going into the game, and Gainesville was 0-8. They'd only had 2 touchdowns all year long. Faith has 70 kids, 11 coaches, and the latest equipment and involved parents. Gainesville had lots of kids with convictions for drugs, assault, and robbery, and many of those families had disowned them. They were wearing 7-year-old shoulder pads and ancient helmets. So Hogan had the idea. What if half of our fans, for one night only, cheered for the other team? So he sent out an email asking the faithful to do just that. Here's the message I want you to send, Hogan wrote. You are just as valuable as any other person on planet Earth. And Hogan said, imagine if you didn't have a home life. Imagine if everyone had pretty much given up on you. Now imagine what it would mean for hundreds of people to suddenly believe in you. The next thing you know, the Gainesville Tornadoes were turning around on their bench to see something they had never seen before. Hundreds of fans and actual cheerleaders. I thought maybe they were confused, said Alex, a Gainesville lineman. They started yelling, defense, when their team had the ball. What? Why are they cheering for us? It was a strange experience for boys who most people crossed the street to avoid. One of the players said, we can tell people are a little afraid of us when we come to the games. They wind up looking at you funny. You can see it in their eyes. They're looking at us like we're criminals. But these people, they weren't just yelling for us. They were yelling our names. Maybe it figures that Gainesville played better than it had all season, scoring the game's last 2 touchdowns. Of course, this might be because the other coach put his third-string nose guard in at safety and his third-string cornerback at defensive. But still. After the game, both teams gathered in the middle of the field to pray, and that's when Isaiah surprised everybody by asking to lead in prayer. And this is what he prayed. We had no idea what the kid was going to say, remembers Coach Hogan, but Isaiah said this, Lord, I don't know how this happened, so I don't know how to say thank you. But I would have never known there were so many people in the world that cared about us. And it was a good thing everybody's heads were bowed because they might have seen Hogan wiping away tears. So as the Tornadoes walked back to their bus, handcuffed and under guard, they were each handed a bag for the ride home. Burger, fries, and a soda, some candy and a Bible, and an encouraging letter from one of the other football team's players. The Gainesville coach saw Hogan, grabbed him hard by the shoulders, and said, you will never know what your people did for these kids tonight. You will never, ever know. And as the bus pulled away, all the Gainesville players crammed to one side and pressed their hands to the window, staring at these people they had never met before, watching their smiles as they disappeared into the night. That's our God. Our God chooses life for us and the people we touch. Because when I choose life, you get to be the recipient of that life. When I choose life, everybody who comes in my path that day gets some of my life. And it's very, very catching. Live intentionally. Choose life. Be a blessing and live outside of the box. And that's what we have to say today. Thank you. Wow. Different. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.